And now we're going to look at part three, which is the second reading, which is from the letter to the Colossians, chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. I want to read more of the context for those words. Colossians is a marvelous letter. I used to love to teach it. I'm going to start with verse 1 and then read some verses until we get to verse 12 and then start to comment. I want you to know how great a struggle I am having for you and for those in Laodicea. What kind of a struggle is that? The one we just talked about. Intercessory prayer. We're going to have this, look at this text in a moment. This is a text by Father Martirius, one of the great spiritual masters of the Syrian school of spirituality. He says, prayer is able to put pressure on Satan, who puts pressure on the human race. It can rescue from his hands and bring deliverance from all the temptations in the world. That's what Paul is praying for, to protect the Colossians from the attacks of Satan. I'm having for you and for those in Laodicea, and all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged as they are brought together in love, to have all the riches of fully assured understanding for the knowledge of the mystery of God, Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Did you understand that? If we get to know Jesus, all God's treasures of wisdom and knowledge are ours. Whatever we need to know, we will know. But we have to pursue the Lord. He wants to be bothered. You say, well, I bother him, but he never answers me. Oh, you don't understand. He does. But you see, he doesn't want to be a big abstract source of whatever you need. He wants to have a relationship to you. Suppose you're holding an ice cream cone, and a child runs up and says, may I have the ice cream? And you just give it to them. They'll take it, go eat, and forget all about you. But if you hold it long enough, they'll start looking at you. And you can smile at them and have a relationship to them. And then you give them the ice cream. That's why God doesn't answer my prayers right away. Because he isn't a huge, infinite aspirin. He's God. And he wants you to know him and not just the solution to your problems. He wants to have a personal relationship to you. How many people have learned more about God because they kept bothering him until they finally got to know him? And God was so kind, he didn't hear their prayers right away. Now, what happens a lot to us, we ask him for a day or two, nothing happens. Oh, the heck with it. He's not interested. Well, do we have confidence in God? That he loves us? He wants to hear us? So if he's not answering right away, there's a reason. And usually the reason is the same as when an adult holds the ice cream until the child gets his eyes off the ice cream and puts them on us. And there's a relationship. God wants the relationship more than that we have the ice cream. This is much more valuable and it's eternal. So don't ever quit praying. How many times do we have these kind of parables of our Lord, that we have to pray and not grow weary, right? It's amazing that, and how many times, remember the story about the widow and the unjust judge, and so forth. Anyway, we're going to go on with this now. Colossians. What a struggle I'm having for you and those in Laodicea, and all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts be encouraged as they are brought together in love, to have all the richness of fully assured understanding for the knowledge of God, Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. See what Paul wants for them, that they really know Jesus, that he can open up his heart to them and be thrilled. My friends, this is the whole reason why we fight for a life of prayer, is to answer this invitation. Jesus says, I want you to know me so that we can have a real deep relationship of friendship, even in this life. You can rely on me. You can love me, and I can love you. And that's the foundation for the solidity of your life. So that's why, you see, he says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, you see. And then he goes on, see to it that no one captivates you with an empty, seductive philosophy according to human tradition, according to the elemental powers of this world, and not according to Christ. Magic. You know, burn a little incense, wave a little something, and pop, out will come what you're looking for. No. If you've had that happen sometime, what is that? That's Satan trying to coax you away from the gospel. So cut it out. God is the only one who can answer your prayers all the time if he wants to. Creatures can't. But that's what prayer is all about, that we can talk directly to God. I'm going to read it again. The ancient spiritual masters, Father Martirius, prayer is able to put pressure on Satan, who puts pressure on the human race. It can rescue from his hands and bring deliverance from all the temptations in the world. One way of understanding this expression is to realize that there is no pressure without presence. When we are at prayer, God is present both to us and in a profound manner, and this presence of itself can rescue us from Satan's hands and bring deliverance from temptation. When Teresa of Avila had her conversion, when she first went to the convent, it was a nice little convent in Avila, and there were, the young women of upper class women, and they had a nice parlor where they all met and had tea with the women of the neighborhood, you see. And one day, and she was in all of this, you know. And one day, the Lord gave her a vision of where she'd be in hell if she didn't change. Well, you can bet your boots she changed. And she kept at it. When she first went to prayer, I'm going to pray an hour a day. She had an hourglass. It would dribble the glass, the sand in, took an hour to get from top to bottom. She said, you know, there were days when I just sat there looking at that sand. But I stayed with it. And what's the result? One of the greatest mystics of all time. I can't guarantee you that. That's up to God's grace. But I can guarantee you this, that if you fight for prayer, God will always be with you. Fight for it. When you say, I'm too busy, then get up earlier. Oh, I can't. Yes, you can. And get to bed on time. That's the secret of a prayer life. To get to bread on time. But can you see? All the message of this gospel and this Sunday is prayer. And so, you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. You see, when we say, I believe that Jesus is raised from the dead, what are we saying? I believe that God raised him from death to life. What power? That's God's power. Nobody can do that. Sometimes the saints do it. I remember a friend of mine was down in Texas. 3 or 4 times, maybe 5 times in his life, he prayed over somebody dead, and the Lord raised them up again. And even when you were dead in transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he brought you to life with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, obliterating the bond against us with his legal claims, which was opposed to us. He also removed it from our midst, nailing it to the cross. See what happened to all the warrant for our arrest? He nailed it to the cross. It's not there anymore. We're free. You're not going to go to jail for life, for eternity. I took that warrant and I nailed it with me to the cross. So you're free. Now, what are you going to do about that? Talk to me. Come to know me. Fight for time every day with me. My golly, you know, if all of a sudden somebody, you're in a business someplace, and the guy says, look, you come and talk with me for 30, 40 minutes every morning, I will give you such knowledge that you will get raise after raise after raise. By golly, you'd be there. And Jesus, the very Son of God, is telling us something like that, and we're not interested. We'd rather sleep or watch the sports on TV till we go to bed so late we can't get up early. I can promise you this. One team is going to win, one team is going to lose. I can promise you that. I'll tell you a joke. This is a Jewish joke. A guy said, I took my pop down to Florida, give him a break. I put him in the hotel room. I said, Pop, I'll be right back up. I'm going down to get a drink. I went down, got a drink. I came back up, and I said, what are you doing, Pop? He says, I'm watching television. What are you watching? Basketball. What's the score? 72 to 60. Who's winning? 72. You see? But we can fight to pray. And the Lord loves it when we do that, and he's so proud of us. You've no idea. And he'll find ways, even in this life, of letting us know how pleased he is, you see. And so, you were brought to life along with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Now, confession is the second plank. Huh? Baptism is the first plank in a shipwreck. But if we've sinned in a serious way, there's a second plank. God in his mercy gives it to us. Go to confession, hang on to that plank, and you will float ashore. No problem. But that's the call to prayer, do you see? The hallelujah for the day is, you have received a spirit of adoption through which we cry, Abba, Father. My friends, it doesn't just mean we say Abba, Abba, Abba. It means we have a divine affection for the Father. There's no delight in this world of any kind. There's no delight of mind or body or whatever. There's no delight like knowing God as Father, knowing God as Abba, and delighting in that. Being anxious to do His will, sinning and being forgiven, but keep trying. There's nothing like it. And that's the call we get in the readings for the liturgy of the day. Huh? Pray, pray, pray. Not only, oh God, give me this, give me that. Pray. Just talk to God and say, Lord, I tell you what, I'll trade you any sin I've got if you'll just let me know you better. And he'll show you how to do that. Amen. Mm-hmm.